Welcome to Assets and Aging, Affording the Future. I'm your host, Bob Scrivano. 21 years here on KFBK and 30 years of helping people, 30 plus years of helping people deal with the issues of aging. Thank you for joining me. I have a lot to talk about tonight. I want to try to do it softly and help people understand what's going on and help people understand how they might navigate through this without all of the naysaying and the panic and everything else that's going on when it comes to dealing with the issues of aging. Remember, I'm not an attorney. I don't practice law. I don't want to practice law. I don't want to give legal advice. I want to tell you the truth. So everything I talk about here should never be taken as any form of legal, tax, or financial advice. It's my opinion only. I have a California insurance license. Doesn't mean anything, but I have one. What does mean something is I have a legal document assistant license recorded in Sacramento, California. That license allows me to prepare legal documents like trusts and wills and powers of attorney at your direction and request. My license number is 2004-05, expires 8/24/20. I will renew it this year, but I do have one, and it's in Sacramento County. I can prepare your wills, your trusts, your powers of attorney, and we're going to talk a lot about those in the next hour or thereabouts. I want to start out with two stories. And I want you to listen to the stories. They're true stories. I'm going to change the names and the stuff. And they all happened this week. Both of them happened this week. I may get to a third story. I haven't decided yet. But I want to start out with two stories. The first story is I got a phone call at the beginning of the week. I guess the beginning of last week, technically it would be. But the beginning of the week. And it was a phone call from a friend of somebody, and he said his friend, he's listened to my show, and the friend would be calling me, and they had a really difficult situation to deal with, and I said, okay, and he gave me their phone number, so I called them, and I said, hi, how can I help? And he said, well, we're dealing with a real crisis right now, and I said, well, what's the real crisis? Because people's idea of a crisis varies. It varies. So as he got into the story, it really was kind of a crisis. And here's the story, and I want you to listen to the story, and I want you to listen to the result of the story. And the result of the story is no result. And that will make sense in a minute. So I got a phone call. The mom had been in the hospital. I'm not going to tell you which hospital. It doesn't matter. They didn't understand anything about observation versus admission. So we talked about that for a while. And we discovered that the person probably had been admitted and was in the hospital for 7 days. This person had did not have coronavirus, was admitted for other things. This person had an underlying health deficit, had for a long time, and because they were in the hospital doing other things, they had to stop that. So the person was in the hospital for 7 days. The person was then moved by the hospital, from the hospital, to a nursing home. It's a good nursing home, nothing wrong with the nursing home. And the person had been in the nursing home now for 8 days, holding up 8 fingers. Visual effect here. And so they'd been in the hospital and a nursing home for more than 2 weeks. And they were trying to figure out what to do. And what they were being told by the nursing home and by the hospital was this person needed to come home. And I said, okay, can I ask you some questions? You're obviously got a tough thing to deal with here. So I said, let me ask you some questions about the person that's in the nursing home. And they said, okay. And so I asked them some questions, and I said, well, can this person walk? And they said, no, can't walk. Oh, he said, well, the nursing home says she can walk 20 feet. I said, 20 feet how? Well, we don't know. We haven't seen it. They just told us that she can walk 20 feet. I said, is it 20 feet with a walker? Is it 20 feet with someone standing next to them? Is it 20 feet with somebody holding a support belt? Is it 20 feet in a wheel? I mean, what's the 20 feet? Well, we don't know. We haven't seen it. But we do know that she has edema really bad in her legs. She has really bad swelling in her legs. And I said, well, that's not really good in an older person. I said, let me ask you some other questions. And they said, okay. I said, well, can she get out of bed by herself? Well, I don't know. We haven't seen it. Because the nursing home is closed because of the coronavirus, even though this person doesn't have the coronavirus. And I said, well, what do you mean? You know, well, we haven't seen it. Well, okay, can they go to the bathroom by themselves? Can they take a shower by themselves? Well, we don't know. We haven't seen it, but probably not. Because all we know is that they tell us she can walk 20 feet. I said, well, have you taken a video of it? Well, no. Have you asked them to Skype you so you can watch your mother walk? No. So you really don't know anything about your mother's circumstance, do you? Well, all we know is they tell us we need to come home. Well, who's going to take care of her at home? And the child said, the son said, well, I guess I am. And I said, well, how are you going to do that? How old are you? And he told me, and I said, well, you're no spring chicken. So how are you going to take care of a mother who you don't know if she can walk, you don't know if she can bathe herself, you don't know if she can go to the bathroom by herself, you don't really know anything. Well, we just want to bring her home. Home to what? And I probably spent 15 minutes on the phone trying to get this family to focus on how. And at the end of my 15 minutes, I wished them good luck and said goodnight. And the son said, well, he was going to have his sister call me, who was a retired medical professional or something like that, and I never heard from them. I tried calling them a couple days later with to no avail. Now, as you listen to my story, this is a true story, by the way. I'm not amplifying anything. I'm not adding to anything. That was pretty much my 10 or 15 minute conversation, was trying to get them to figure out what kind of shape mom was in, and could they even take care of her? And they couldn't answer any of my questions. Now, I don't know about you, but I find that troubling. Don't you think they should know? Okay, so what are the questions you would ask in that circumstance? Would you ask questions that I didn't ask? Are there questions that you think they should know the answer to that they didn't know the answer to? And by the way, they didn't have a power of attorney. Well, they had a power of attorney, but it was a springing power of attorney, which means the power of attorney only went into effect when mom was declared incompetent. And I said, well, is your mom incompetent? And they said, well, no. Well, then how are you going to make decisions for her? Well, we have her power of attorney. I know, but you're not listening to me. How are you going to make... Well, we have her power of attorney. And I said it about six times. And I said, well, okay, but it only goes into effect when your mom's been declared incompetent. Do you have letters from two doctors saying your mom's incompetent? Well, no. Then let me ask my question one more time. How are you going to make decisions for your mom? And oh, by the way, if your mom comes home, you're never going to get her back in that nursing home again. So if you bring her home and she can't take care of herself, you're never going to get her in that nursing home again. And by the way, you're in a really good nursing home. Well, what do you mean we'll never get her in? You'll never get her in. It's closed. Only the hospital got her in, but you can't get her in. Now, I don't know what happened to this family. I have no idea. I have not heard from them. but the story's real. And I'd like to tell you it's the only phone call I ever get like this, but it's not anywhere near the only phone call I get like this. They're totally unprepared for what happened. It was never going to happen to them, even though mom has been living with the son all along. By the way, the biggest problem I have most of the time are with sons. Sons have a really difficult time making really hard decisions about their moms. They just do. It's just a fact. It's not a condemnation. It's just a fact. So I don't know where the family is today, but I'll tell you this. I'll bet you they're not getting the best care they could have because they made decisions based in a panic, and they made decisions without complete information, and they made decisions that aren't probably going to be wise, but they did them out of expediency and in a lot of cases out of guilt. You've heard me talk on this radio show a lot about guilt. Guilt plays into all of this a lot. A lot. When it comes to long-term care planning and when it comes to the issues of aging, guilt plays into all of this really a lot. And it sometimes keeps us from making wise decisions. Let me tell you another story. By the way, while I'm telling these stories, I want you to ask yourself, is this going on in my family? And how would I handle it? How would I handle it? What are the questions I should be asking? What questions would you have asked of this family? If this was your family, what questions would you ask? Let me tell you about the second one. Somebody called me also this week. Mom and Dad are both in a nursing home. Mom and Dad are both in a nursing home and are both on Medi-Cal. If they weren't on Medi-Cal, they would be paying $20,000 to $25,000 a month for the nursing home because Mom and Dad are both in a nursing home. So I said, okay, how can I help? Well, mom is not competent. Dad is competent. But the nursing home, which is locked, I can't get into the nursing home. I can't go see my mother and father. I have no contact with them. But I'd like to get the medical records and stuff on how they're doing. And I'd like to be able to converse with them. And they said, well, you can't do that. And the son said, well, what do you mean I can't do that? I have to because we found some money that we didn't know mom and dad had. And unless we deal with the money, they're going to lose Medi-Cal. Well, you can't talk to your mom and dad. And they said, but the son said, but I have a power of attorney. And they said, well, yeah, but it's springing. And your dad's not incompetent. So they finally got permission to talk to dad, but they can't get in to talk to dad. Well, then the son wrote the company that has the money that they just found out about. And the son said, we'd like to be able to deal with the money. Here, we have dad's power of attorney. It's dad's money. And the company, nice company, nothing wrong with the company. The company said, we can't talk to you. And the son said, what do you mean you can't talk to me? I sent you the power of attorney. Yeah, but the power of attorney says that we need letters from two doctors saying your dad's incompetent. But my dad's not incompetent. I know, so you don't have his power of attorney. Well, maybe I could go inside and get him to sign something. Well, okay, except the son's not allowed inside the nursing home because the son had a springing power of attorney. And therefore, he can't deal with the money that they just discovered because the power of attorney only goes into effect when dad and mom are declared incompetent and dad's not incompetent. So what do we do? And I said, I don't have an answer for you. You've got the wrong power of attorney. And he said, but what do I do? And I said, I don't know. Well, I've got a power of attorney, but the company won't take. That's right, because it only goes into effect when two doctors say your dad's incompetent. So they're at risk of losing Medi-Cal. If they lose Medi-Cal, then the family will have to sell a house and will have to come up with $20,000 to $25,000 a month to pay for mom and dad, who are both in a nursing home. Now, I'd like to tell you that's an unusual circumstance, but it's not. Now, what are the questions you would ask me if you could? You can't ask me because I'm not on live. This is pre-recorded. But what questions would you like to ask me? If this was your family, what would you do? If this was your family, what would you do? If this was your loved one, if these were your parents in these stories, what would you do? Who would you go to? Who would you trust? And what would you do? And what advice would you get? Somebody gave these people advice. And in both cases, the advice they were given was wrong. But they got advice. Dealing with the issues of aging is completely different than anything else. What do you have? Well, Bob, I have a will. I know, but wills only deal with death. Well, I have a trust, but what does the trust say? Well, it says if I die, it goes to Mildred, and if Mildred dies, it goes to me, but you're not dead. In both of the circumstances I gave you, in both of the ones I just talked about, nobody's dead. They're dealing with people who are alive but frail, alive but incapacitated, alive but have dementia, alive but unable to take care of themselves. So if this was your family, what would you do? And by the way, nobody in either one of the situations I gave you, was ever thought that this would happen to get to them. And here's the kicker. These stories are multiplied hundreds of times a year in my world. They went to somebody. The somebody they went to, whoever it was, didn't prepare them for this circumstance. What they prepared them for was dying, and what they prepared them for was dying healthy. Bob, I don't understand that. Dying healthy means dad's alive. He drops dead of a heart attack. He dies suddenly. He was healthy and then he was dead. Mom lives another 4 years. She has a massive stroke and she dies, and neither one of them ever need long-term care. Neither one of them ever have. They died healthy. My question for 25 years, 30 years has been, what happens if the stroke fails? I don't understand that, Bob. Well, if the stroke succeeds, you're dead. If the stroke fails, you're an invalid for the rest of your life. I know someone in a nursing home right now in their 60s who will be in a nursing home for a very, very long time. Maybe the rest of their life, because they had a stroke. If this was your family, what questions would you like to ask? If this was your family, who would you turn to for help? If this was your family, do you know what your documents say? That last part, Bob, I don't know. I don't know who I would turn to, and I don't know what my documents say. I know I have them, and I know the guy that did them said they were really, really good. But do they deal with dying, or do they deal with mostly dying? Do they deal with what happens when I'm dead, or do they deal with the 4 years leading up to when I die? In my world, documents are everything. In my world, I see documents all the time. I'm shown documents all the time. I get phone calls from attorneys who call me wanting to know what these documents say. I got a phone call the other day from an attorney saying, this is going on. I got a phone call from an attorney and they're applying and they don't know what to do and what do you think they should do? And so I told them. Planning for long-term care, planning for the issues of aging, planning for frailty is unique. It's hard. It's difficult. It's gut-wrenching because we don't like talking about the reality that grandma could be goofy for 5 years or that grandpa can't remember where the bathroom is or I can't remember how to put my pants on straight. I put them on with the zipper in the back because I can't remember. It's uncomfortable talking about this stuff. I get it. And people have been talking to me about this for years. I can't tell you how many people have sat in my office, and gone, oh, man, I don't know. This really sounds good, Bob. You know, what you've talked to us about with trust and power, that all sounds really good, but I don't know. You know, it's going to cost money, and why don't you let me go home and think about it? And I go, okay, I'll never see you. Oh, no, you'll see me again. No, I won't. People who leave my home to go think about it, they have one gigantic problem. Anybody know what the problem is? It's one two-letter word. What's the two-letter word? It. They're going to go home and think about it. What's it? Well, I'm going to go home and think about it. Okay, what's it? You're going to go home and think about it. What's it? What is this it that you're thinking about? Well, we're going to think about all the stuff you talk. You can't think about all the stuff I talked about today. That's like saying you're going to think about all the stuff I talked about on the radio show. You're going to think about it, but the reality is you will do nothing. And you'll become another story on the radio about families that decided to think about it until it was too late. 800-999-8007. At the end of this broadcast today, I'm going to have a special offer that will be good for 24 hours only to encourage people to come and do it. I'm only going to give it at the end of the hour. So if you quit listening now, you're not going to be around at the end of the hour. And the offer I'm going to make is going to be good for one day only. The offer I'm going to make at the end of the day will expire tomorrow at 6 o'clock. But it's going to be an encouragement. It will be a financial offer. And it's going to be an encouragement for you to come in and see me and finally take care of it. In the meantime, if you want to talk to me, if this is important to your family, and you've been looking around going, God, we got to do something someday. When is someday going to be in your life if not today? Do you know how many people out there with this stuff have no documents in place? They can't make any decisions for their wives, their husbands, their families, their children. Did you know if your child is 18 years old, you have no right as a parent to make medical decisions for them in the absence of documents because they're adults. They could be living in your house. It doesn't matter. This is important stuff, and we're living through important times. It will pass. But the crisis of aging, the crisis of families, the crisis of being able to make wise choices is going to go on long before you and I are gone. It's going to keep going on and on long after you and I are gone. 800-999-8007. 800-999-8007. You can watch my last webinar. You can follow me on Facebook Live. Go to my website, assets, assetsandaging, ASSETSANDAGAM.com. ASSETSANDAGING. You can follow me on Facebook. You can go to facebook.com/assetsandaging. Every week, I do at least one Facebook Live. If you missed my last webinar, I think it will be up on my website here really soon, the one I did last Wednesday. There's help available. You have to take advantage of the help. 800-999-8007. Stick around for the second half hour, and at the end of the show, I will have a special offer to those of you who are listening today, but I'm not going to give it out until the end of the second half hour, and it'll be good for one day only. So stick around. We'll see you here after a short break, right here on Assets and Aging, Affording the Future. Welcome back to Assets and Aging, Affording the Future. A calm voice in the middle of all the stuff that's going on around you. Let me just say this, and this is personal. Folks, it's time to take a deep breath. We've been through this before. We will get through this. It's bad. But this is my own personal opinion. There's no need to freak out just yet. Yes, this stuff is out there. But yes, we've also been through polio. We've also been through tetanus when it was bad. Tuberculosis when it was bad and killed lots of people. All kind, diphtheria, whooping cough, all the horrible diseases I grew up with. I didn't have, but I lost a brother to polio. We've been through this before. We will get through it again if we keep calm heads, be wise about stuff, not stupid, wise. At the same time, not panicked. We will get through this. If we start pulling together rather than pulling apart, we will get through this. If we make wise decisions, we will get through this. Stop believing any one news source. No one news source has the truth. Listen to wise voices everywhere. I read just like you do every day, but I don't get anything from one source. I read a wide variety of sources. I read people that I trust. I read sources that I trust. I read lots of them, and I try not to panic because it won't help. What will help is calm, intelligent approach to what's going on. I was reading something today from an English newspaper, and they were talking about people who were throwing away tons and tons of food because they hoarded so much food that it rotted before they could use it all. That's not helpful to anyone. If we're wise, we can help the people who really need help. If we're wise, we'll make sure that we take care of ourselves and our families. If we're wise, we'll get through this, and I think it's going to be a long slog through people getting their jobs back. I think this is going to take a lot longer to reverse itself than we think it is. But if we do it in a panic, and if we do it in a selfish way, it will not benefit any of us. It will only make whatever recovery is coming and whatever wholeness and wellness is coming worse. So I hope we can be wise about this and support each other in wise decisions and be patient with those around us. Whoever your leaders are, and you remember, they're all human. They're all subject to the same mistakes, the same foibles, the same selfishness, the same caring, as all the rest of us. They're no wiser than we are. So be wise. Be calm. Take care of each other. Be kind to each other. And understand that at the end of the day, none of this matters except people. People matter. Okay, let me go on. That's your sermon for the day. It is Sunday, after all, so that's your Sunday sermon. Where do I want to start? Let's start with, why are documents so important? Because if I can't speak for me, who speaks for me? Not my wife, not unless she has documents that say she can speak for her. Not my children, unless they have documents that say I can speak for them. I can't tell you how many people I talk to that I've done trust for or powers of attorney for. And I'll say, God, that's really good. You know, Fred and Mildred, it's really good. You did this. By the way, you said you have two kids. You love your kids. Yeah, I love our kids. We have grandkids. We love our kids. We love our grandkids. Have they done this? Well, I don't know. Well, don't you think you ought to know? Because, you know, if something happens to your son, is his wife able to take care of him or vice versa? If your grandchildren are 22 years old and something happens to them, who's authorized to take care of them? Who's authorized to speak on their behalf because they're adults? Well, I don't know. Don't you think that would be a good thing to ask families? If you have one and you've done what you're supposed to do, don't you think it would be a really good idea to ask your son or your daughter or your grandson or your granddaughter? If they've done this stuff too, they may not need trust. They may not even need a will. But powers of attorney are like really, 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 really important. If you can't speak for you, who speaks for you? Well, it's my wife. My wife, no, because of this thing called HIPAA. What, went into effect in 2007? HIPAA says, unless I said I wanted my wife to know, I don't want her to know. It's all the privacy language. If you don't believe what I'm saying is the truth, if you have a pension, have your wife call up your pension company and see how much your pension is. If you have an IRA, have your husband call up your IRA company and see if they'll talk to him. They won't. Because of HIPAA. And California has a one too called CMIA. But let's stick with HIPAA for a minute. Documents are really important because who speaks for me if I can't speak for me? Well, Bob, when I'm dead, it all goes to my kids. I understand, but you're not dead. You're mostly dead. So who speaks for you? Well, my husband does. Yeah, but your husband, you know, did you do documents? Yeah, I did documents 5 years ago. And my husband, well, where's your husband? Oh, well, my husband has dementia. Well, then he's not speaking for you anymore, is he? Or your husband's 85 years old and he doesn't think so clearly. Or your wife, or whoever it is. If you can't speak for you, who speaks for you? If you can't say what you want, who says what you want? I've used my mom as an example lots of times because she's a good example. When I walked into the hospital where my mom was at the end of the life, she couldn't speak for herself. She was completely delusional. She couldn't talk to anybody. They had mitts on her hands so she wouldn't tear her IVs out. She literally did not know what planet she was on. But there were lots and lots of decisions to be made. Who got to make them? Was it me? Was it my brother? Who was it going to be? Well, the documents had to speak to that. What rights did I have in the hospital? Could I make end-of-life decisions for her? Could I decide what meds she got? Could I decide what meds she didn't get? Somebody wrote back to me on Facebook the other day, on my Facebook post, and I know they meant well, but my last Facebook Live was on this subject, and they wrote back and said, well, my husband, no ventilator for me, I've told my husband. Well, I have news for you. Your husband doesn't get to make that choice unless you've given him the, I didn't write this back, because I didn't want to sound, I appreciated the comment, but the comment was made flippantly, and the comment was made in a way that tells me that person doesn't really know what they were talking about, because this person's husband can't make that decision unless there are documents saying that they can make that decision. Simply because somebody knows what you want doesn't mean they get to do what you want. So I had to make hydration decisions about my mother. I had to make nutrition decisions about my mother. I had to make pain relief decisions about my mother. She couldn't make them. My dad was deceased. Who could do it? I was the first one there. Did I have the power to do it? Did I even have the authority to know what room she was in? By the way, the answer is yes, I did. And yes, they asked me when I got to the hospital who I was when I asked where my mom was, because they weren't going to tell me until I produced documents. Then when we decided it was end-of-life decisions for my mom, who was authorized to make those? Who was authorized to get the lab reports from the doctor? Who was authorized to get the medical records from the hospital? Who was authorized to talk to the doctor and get information, private information about my mother? Who was then authorized to pick a hospice company and sign a contract? Who was authorized to pick the boarding, the assisted living where she went to spend the last few days of her life? Who was authorized to sign a contract there? Who was authorized to decide what meds she would take with her? Who was authorized to deal with the IV? Who was authorized to hire the transportation that would take her to the facility? Who was authorized to sign a check to pay for the facility? Who was authorized to check with the funeral home to make sure everything was as we thought it was? Just to double check. And who was authorized to tell the facility what funeral home to use when my mother passed? My mother couldn't make any of those decisions, could I? What if my brother had been the first one there? Could he have made those decisions? The answer is yes, because we took care of that years ago, before this happened, in the form of documents. Then I went to go home shortly after my mother died, and then my brother stayed on to take care of the sale of the property and cleaning out the house and paying the bills. Who was authorized to do all that? Well, my brother was, because we had documents prepared that said either he or I could do it. The attorney that handled the estate had never seen such documents before. He thought they were amazing. But I made sure that the documents said what they needed to say, not only to take care of after-death issues, but all the stuff that came up before my mom died. So we had the right powers of attorney in place. We had the right advanced health care directives in place. Of course, we had a trust in place, but my mom wasn't making decisions for years beforehand. Why? Because she had dementia. So my brother and I were trustees of the trust, so we could manage all of this before she died, years before she died. We were making sure her bills got paid, and her property taxes got paid, and her insurance got paid, and all of that stuff got done. We made sure that she had a warm, safe place to stay at home, as long as she could stay at home. We made sure of that. But it was the documents that let us do that. For the years before she died, how was I able to get information from the doctors the years before she died so we could keep track on her health? Who was able to know what meds she was taking? Because I had access to the pharmacy records. How did we do that? Because of documents that we did. How did we check up on her? How did we do all the things? Who took her to the doctor? Who was authorized? My nephew. Well, my nephew wasn't on the power of attorney. I know, but we had a special HIPAA authorization that allowed not only my brother and I and our wives to get medical information, but allowed my nephew and his wife, who lived close to my mom, to get medical information so they could pass it on to us. We planned for this years and years before we needed it. Not months or weeks or not when the crisis bloomed. Years in advance. How far in advance are you? Or are you still going, well, Bob, you know, I'm only 77 years old. I have plenty of time, do you? How many of you, I'm 74 years old. In our 70s, what starts happening to us that we never thought was going to happen? We're prepared for my feet hurt and my back hurts and that kind of stuff. What started to happen when you hit your 70s? Come on, I'll bet you none of you can get it, but y'all know it. What starts happening to your friends? Your friends start beginning to fail. Your friends start to die. Your friends begin to develop dementia. Your friends are at the end of debilitating disease like Parkinson's. What begins to happen in your 70s and 80s to the people around you who you've known for 20, 30, 40 years? And as you watch them, as you watch them deteriorate, do you ever say to yourself, man, I wonder if I'm ready, because that's going to happen to me. Am I going to put my family through what their family is going through because this is going to happen to me? Or are you still thinking about it? I don't know the answer for you, folks. I know that after 30 years of doing this, you can't describe to me something I haven't seen. From greedy children to worthless children to loving families to disorganized families to families where people are stealing from each other to you name it, I've seen it. What kind of family is yours? I had somebody call me the other day. I haven't heard back from them. They said, Bob, I've listened to your show. I really need to do something. I have one child, but I'm estranged from my child, so I don't know what to do. And my answer was, okay, can you change the estrangement today? No. Well, then don't you still think you better find somebody who can make decisions for you? Because do you think your estranged child is going to come in and make wise medical and financial decisions for you down the road? No. Then who's your friends? Who do you know? Well, but they're as old as I am. Well, okay, but it's somebody today. If you make up with your child, you can always change the documents later on. But having nothing today is a fool's errand. It's just foolish. Waiting for the day before something happens is just foolish, folks. And a lot of you, I'm sorry to say, are being foolish about this. And I get phone calls all the time. Bob, I've been listening to you for 8 years on the radio, and guess what happened? And I'm going, something went wrong. Yeah, how did you know? Because that's what happens. People always think they have time until they don't have any time. How many people are going through absolute hell right now, dealing with what we're dealing with, because they thought they had everything under control? Well, guess what the world taught them? You're never in control. You think you are, but you're not. And time has a way of showing us in harsh ways, sometimes in very harsh ways, that we're not in control. We're not in control of our lives. We're not in control of what's going to hit us. We're not in control of our friends. We're not in control of our families. We only think we are, and we only think that somehow we're going to escape all of this. Well, last time I checked, death is a pretty much 100% certainty, yet less than half the people in the United States even have a will, let alone a trust. We have more people over 65 in California than are in the entire population of Oregon. Let that sink in for a minute right now. We have about 6.5 million people, according to Stanford, in California over 65. 40% of them are already receiving some form of care. Yet we all think we're going to be the exception to the rule. We're going to escape. It's not going to happen to us. It's not going to happen to my mom and dad. They're forever young. We're healthy. We're okay. Gee, we feel great. We're 80 and we still go bowling until the coronavirus comes around or flu comes. Did you know 40 to 60,000 people in the United States die every year of the flu? 250,000 are hospitalized with the flu every year. So what happens when you roll a gutter ball, for those of you who've been bowling? If you want to keep thinking about it, be my guest. If you're ready to stop thinking about it and actually do something, then I have an incentive for you that's only good on this show, and it's only good until tomorrow night at 6 p.m. And I'm set up to do all of this remotely. You don't have to come to my office. If you call me and you say to me, or send me an email and say, Bob, I'm ready to get this started, I will get this started and I will take care of everything for you. And I will do it for $500 off my normal price. Now, you missed out because last week the people that came to my webinar got an even better deal, and for those who took advantage of it. But for those of you, this is the 12th, I believe. This is the 12th. So by the 13th at 6 o'clock tomorrow night, any of you, so that gives you almost 24 hours, any of you who email me or call me and proceed to get documents done, I will take $500 off my price. I think that's a pretty good incentive, but it's only good to people who listen to the show. You have to mention that you're a listener, you listen to me on KFBK, and you have to either call me or email me tomorrow night by 6 o'clock to have done this. Write this down. I'm going to give you my phone number, and I'm going to give you my website address. It is not good at 6:01 tomorrow night or 6:30 tomorrow night or the next day. This is good until Monday night, the 13th of what month is this? April at 6 o'clock. Then it ends. $500 off a complete package of trust, powers of attorney, pour over wills, and advanced healthcare directives. Here's my phone number. Write it down. 800. And by the way, don't do this if you're not serious. Don't say, well, if you do it for this, would you do it for... No. This is it. This is for people who are serious. But in light of what's going on, I'm trying to be a good neighbor and do something that will, at the end of the day, sure, it helps me, but at the end of the day, it helps those people that I'm listening to. 800-999-8007. Even if you're in Sacramento, you call that number. 800-999-8007. Yes, I'm licensed to do this. I have a legal document assistant license registered in Sacramento County, California. I'm a registered legal document assistant. I can prepare legal documents at your direction or request. My license number is 2004-05. My license expires on 8/24/20. I'll have it renewed by then. It doesn't mean it's over forever. It just means that it renews every 2 years. And I will do a document, complete set of documents for you for $500 off my normal price. If you're not serious, please don't call. I expect phone calls. I expect emails. If you want to email me, you can go to my website, assetsandaging.com. ASSETSANDAGING. assetsandaging.com. There's a place there you can email me. And we can talk via email. Or just call me. Even if you're in Sacramento, call the 800 number. 800-999-8007. 800-999-8007. To my knowledge, I've never made this offer ever before, ever. And I'm doing it this time because of what we're in the middle of and because I want people to have the documents that they need so that their families can make wise decisions when this happens to you or your grandma or your grandpa. And yes, if you call me and you tell me you're one of my clients and you want to do this for your grandma, I'll honor it. 800-999-8007. 800-999-8007. Or you can go to my website, assets, A-S-S-E-T-S, and A-N-D, aging, aging.com, assetsandaging.com, and you can email me. So by 6 o'clock, this offer is good until 6 o'clock on April the 13th, $500 off my normal price for a trust package, trust, wills, power of attorney, advanced healthcare directives. I think that's a good offer, and I hope you take advantage of it. Thank you so much for listening to the show. I'll be back again next week. Make sure you watch me on Facebook Live. You can go to facebook.com/assetsandaging. Sign up for my newsletter. It's free. Become a subscriber to Assets and Aging. But do the things that you need to do to make sure your family is ready for what's coming. 800-999-8007 or assetsandaging.com. assetsandaging.com. Thanks for the privilege of being with you. Look forward to seeing you at an upcoming workshop or right here on Assets and Aging every week. Bye-bye.